You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids, designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Hey guys, it's Drab. Before we get started today, we are very excited to announce our new sponsor, Magnolia Admissions. Magnolia Admissions offers coaching on college and law school application process, from mock interviews to help with personal statements. One of our P1s, a new friend, Dave, apparently goes to Pamplona all the time as well. He runs Magnolia Admissions, and he graduated from an Ivy League school. Dave has conducted admission interviews for over 15 years and has reviewed thousands of applications as an admission committee member. Make sure your loved one doesn't turn into AWOD. Visit MagnoliaAdmissions.com and mention Bit Season for a listener discount.
That's really part of the script.
Yeah, it is.
Am I getting paid off this read?
We'll look into it.
Yeah. Oh, we gotta ask our accountant.
Oh boy!
All right, guys,
welcome to the show.
We got a very special show for you, and let's get started.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies. It's Bit Season, what a time to be alive. Bit Season, couple of regular guys. It's Bit Season, go have yourself a laugh. It's Bit Season, ah ha ha ha.
Welcome to Bit Season, episode 13. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
I'm Adam Epstein.
And we have a very special guest with us today. I think you guys know him well, JP Flame from The Junkies.
Honored to be here.
JP is our first guest.
And I think you guys think I haven't listened to Bit Season because I haven't really talked about it much, but I have listened to the show.
We say it in tongue-in-cheek, kind of.
I will say I've never listened start to finish because I'm never in my car that long.
That's most of our listeners.
Yeah, I would say a lot of them.
It's no offense. I guess I could, once I get home, pick up on it, but it's been something nice to listen to on a drive.
No, I think we knew that you listened because you had alluded to it a couple times.
Yeah,
knew what we were referring to.
All we know is that Cakes doesn't listen. Jason has gone back and listened after his rich friends tell him AWOD is talking trash.
He was paid to listen.
Jason has listened one time.
Yeah, and that's true. That when he was paid to listen, and then Cakes Cakes, we don't think, has listened. Eric has listened, and you obviously have listened.
Cakes watches a lot of TV these days. He may not have time to listen to anything.
If we had a TV show, Cakes would watch us.
Yes.
We talk fantasy football.
Yeah.
Cakes, I think he gets enough of the junkies. Like, it's enough. Like,
he likes to detach.
Yeah. He's not a real radio guy. He's punching in and punching out. He doesn't live the life.
That's his Fred Flintstone yabba dabba doo clock that he's and he's sliding on the brontosaurus's tailbone to his to his electric car, and he's running out of here.
There he goes. Well, I think you guys know why we have JP in today, and we're going to talk to him for a little bit about his very successful book, and I think we might see it on the New York Times bestseller list soon. Still Barking, and we want to congratulate JP on the book. It's an awesome accomplishment, and we're very proud of you.
Thanks, pal. And I appreciate you guys being part of the process. I heard on Bit Season, Valdez was trying to figure out which one was his chapter, because Drab has one named after him. Drab is the New Black. The chapter titles don't always match up with the content start to finish. Valdez first appears during the Boobash. That's the first time you're referred to in the book, and that's kind of a famous story that Rom tells, where Rom was supposed to drive some guys home, and then EB, his primary hero, asked to drive home, to get a ride home with Rom, and I think Brett got bumped out.
Yes, Brett got iced out of the car. I will say, it's very selfish of me, but when I first got the book, the first thing I did was turn to my chapter.
Right.
That's what I wanted to do first.
You didn't even read one page.
And Bit Season, he probably found all the botches, because we met like a year ago, I would say, maybe a year and a half ago.
It's when the pandemic first started, basically.
Yeah. And a lot of people asked me when I started writing the book, and my first idea was like last April, but then the summer I started working on it. And then there were times when you work on it a little bit, and then sometimes when you're not working on it.
Can you explain to all of our biddies out there just the amount of research and work that you had to do with this book? Because it's very extensive.
I did a lot, and credit to you. You sent me audio along the way, you know, whether it was a rap contest from 20 years ago or a fight that we had. But in terms of research, I'm not Feinstein. I didn't interview hundreds of people, but I interviewed about 30 to 40 people, including AWOD. Apparently, he's upset that I just did it via email.
Yeah,
Are you shocked that he wanted dinner?
But
look at his face.
I have a book signing at Pamplona this Saturday.
Yeah, that's true. He's doing a whole signing geared around you and your hotspot.
How many books do you think you'll sign? People are going to ask you to sign books.
That's true.
You think they're 100%.
Hey, when I was at Potbelly yesterday, it was thrilling signing all these books.
Wait, everybody came up to you and asked you for an autograph?
Every single person. Because these people are the P1s of P1s.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is what's going to happen. They're going to go to Pamplona. They're going to say, hey, can you do the pizza banging line for you?
Should actually be your signature. Yeah. Like, your signature should be whatever your Herpting signature is, Adam Epstein, and then the pizza's banging.
It's true.
You know what? I needed this. I needed this preparation.
And, you know what I do for my my signature is I write disses for my drop. This is Matt Valdez.
This is Matt Valdez.
Really?
Yeah, so
I sign my name, and then above it, I put D-I-S-I-S in, like, quotation marks.
There were a couple people that came by last night after you left. So the first book signing was from 4 to 6, and I hung out afterwards and had dinner, and a couple people came by 6:15, 6:30, and Valdez had pre-signed some books. And one guy was like, he goes, who is this? Because it says, this is Matt Valdez. I was like, that's Matt.
So you pre-signed
I pre-signed a couple. I had to get home and watch the Terps lose. But
to the research question, I also had, look, the first 5 years of the show, I had no idea how long this thing was going to last. And I kind of committed to the bit where I was keeping track of every guest on the show. I had all the articles ever written about the show. I had every basically memo written from our program directors. I had contracts. And all that stuff is in the book. I did that basically up until we got to HFS. When we got to HFS, which is 5 years in, the step into the AM chapter. Uh-huh. Then I punted all of that. So the good thing is, you had a lot of audio from kind of the more recent stuff.
Right.
So EB and I get a fight. You can find it.
Right.
AWOD plays Cakes in basketball. Right. That's on YouTube.
Would have been possible to write the book without all that information.
It'd have been tough. It'd have been more kind of my perspective without, right. you know, real stuff. Like
this is factual information here that yeah. you still have all the data.
We mentioned on the show this morning about putting the salary, your guys' salaries in there. Mm-hmm. And Brett's right. Whenever we go out or, you know, that people always, for some reason, want to ask us, hey, what do the Junkies make? And they say they do well for themselves.
We do okay.
Now, was it uncomfortable to put that in the book?
Yes, but Brett is the one who steered me in that direction. And look, I didn't put really our salary in the last probably 5 to 10 years, but I thought it was interesting to kind of include, look, the book, I hope the number one theme is brotherhood and friendship. Like, why did I write the book? I am proud of our story. You guys joke on me for flaming about the history of the show, but people mm-hmm. come up to our appearances all the time. And still to this day, they don't know how we started. You know, they may have listened. There was a listener came last night. He just started listening 3 years ago. He it's bought true. The book. He doesn't know kind of the history of the show. But what are the odds that three guys that go to nursery school together work together in life? Who did you go to nursery school with? Do you work with them?
People I don't even talk to anymore.
Right. So I work with three guys that I've known at a minimum since high school. And that's kind of the unique aspect of the Junkies. And look, you may not love the title, Still Barking. Came to me when I went for a run one time.
Where Valdez hates the title. I think it's fine. I haven't thought twice about it. No, the weird title.
That was my bit when you were out when I did the show.
And we had a great episode about it, and we came up with the still pooping hashtag for listeners to take a picture of it as they're
reading.
I like the idea.
Right.
And people started getting their book. I started shipping on Monday. And unfortunately, I'm in the shipping business. Wasn't supposed to be. I hired this guy to do it, but it was going too slow. So we've got like a big team operation of labeling, sending out the books. But people started getting them on Tuesday and Wednesday. So maybe you'll get your picture. What's the hashtag?
Still pooping.
Are you holding a physical copy?
Yeah, I got it right here.
I'm very impressed by like the publishing of it. Like it feels very firm. Like I was thinking it would be a funny bit to like rip up the book in front of JP or something. Like,
why did you do that?
I thought it'd be like a good bit. You can't rip this thing.
That's like ripping money in front of him.
I stomped on your bagel that you spent all night on.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Is that your one thing now? Is that you just?
He didn't spend 18 months making a bagel.
I thought it'd be a funny bit.
Hey, you have this is Valdez. He has bagel stomps. Right. He's trying to build a brand.
Yeah. He wants to tear you down right in front of you.
Hey, that could be like a TikTok bit. You know, my daughter's big on TikTok. You could be the bagel stomper guy, and like every day, what is it? The Portnoy does pizza reviews. Yeah. Every day you can do a bagel stomp. New bagels.
A bagel. Be kind of pricey. But we do have a good Bethesda bagel.
You're gonna stomp on your free food. Another question that I had about this is that as I'm reading it and kind of skimming through it in preparation for the interview, is that it's almost like you're writing this as a culmination. Did you get that feeling? Because I got that feeling as I was reading it. Like it's almost like your guys
still barking.
I know, but it's almost like you guys in terms of your career, you kind of feel like you are not necessarily done, but you're kind of
they've reached the peak.
You're kind of at your back half. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
it's almost like it's a culmination. Do you get that sense?
You may interpret that. Look, I had the idea last spring because this year is our 25th anniversary. And if I go back to something I write about in the book, we had an opportunity, really an opportunity of a lifetime, to do a nighttime show on WJFK after the Don and Mike show. It was on WJFK, Howard Stern in the mornings, G. Gordon Liddy, Don and Mike, the Grease Man. So we get offered an 8-week tryout. We met with the bosses at the time, went to Jason's house, his childhood home. We were sitting on the back deck having drinks, and I was like, are we going to do this? And that was a legitimate question. Are we going to do this? Cakes had a full-time job. I was just graduating law school. EB was just finishing up his master's. We all had different career paths, and it was like, are we going to go for this? And if you told me then, in 1997, that we would still be doing it 25 years later, nobody could have predicted it.
No.
It's like and the still barking title is, when we had Mike Francesa on the show, and I wasn't even on the show, but I heard it. Mike Francesa said, have you guys ever broken up? And it just popped into my head. I was like, no, we're still going at it and we're not going to break up. Like Mike and the Mad Dog may have made millions. Mm-hmm. They broke up. Most bands break up. We were friends before and brothers before, and we'll be that after the Junkies. It'll come to an end. Look, I'll be honest. When I was writing this book, and I may have said this to you guys when I interviewed you, when our numbers started taking a big dip during the pandemic, and we before the pandemic, you know this, we went bowling, we had a good get together at the Palm.
Yeah. Life was
like,
good.
Right, like the, all of us, like how often do the seven of us get together, have
drinks?
We were
on our high horse.
Yeah, and then like two, three months later, all of a sudden the pandemic happens and our 11 share turns into like a 4 share. And I was like, I have the title of the book, Still Barking. It might be No Longer Barking.
Yeah, Done Barking.
Right. Yeah, Done Barking.
Done Barking.
That's a great one. You should be an editor.
So that would be like culmination, but I don't think there's culmination. Like, I'll be honest, and you know this, Drab, when we went to spring training the last time, and we went out to that dinner, which we talk about all the time at the Breakers. It was one of those few times where like, guys were kind of talking about like us. All right, we're 50. We have older kids, not Drab so much, but where guys were kind of talking about where you're going to retire and this sort of stuff. I mean, you hear Jason talk about it all the time.
Right.
You hear Cakes talk about it all the time, but we don't really, the four of us get together and say, well, when is this going to come to an end? And it'll probably be different for each of us, right? Like EB is going to be, he loves radio. That's in him. He'll want to keep doing it. I'll want to keep doing it. Not so much because I love radio, but I got a 4-year-old that's eventually going to go to college.
Right, well, you're the only one that has shown that you want to do the show on radio. Like Eric wants to do a podcast, he kind of wants to do something different. Jason wants to retire. Cakes, I think, is more he'll just go along with the flow until he's just so old that he doesn't want to do it anymore. Jason will be the first to leave. We all know that. But what happens if Jason leaves in 3 years? It will be a 3-man show for the next 10 years after that.
I think so. I don't know. I don't think he'll look. It's easy to say
that's
I'm going to retire. It's easy to say those things.
More mic time for us,
right? It's easy to say those things.
Hey, we're finally getting the 4 shot every day.
Right. You get the 4 shot every day. But ultimately, do you think he actually would walk away that early? I don't think so.
He loves. He gets sized for money.
He's the guy that wakes up at 3 a.m. to watch a football team game the night before when he doesn't care about that team.
And there's some. I think there's some speculation on our part about that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Not watching all those. Because I was going to give him credit this week because he kills it with the Ron Rivera interviews, and he doesn't. It's like, did he really stay up and watch the game? But
so, I'm guessing maybe the washing games he probably does, but not everything else that he's waking up saying he's waking up early for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, MLB playoffs. I think he's not waking up at 3 and fast forwarding. But anyways, so you also talked about You talked about Still Barking and how it's a kind of like a book about brotherhood and the rise of the Junkies and everything. But one of the things that I took away from it, and it may not have been intentional, is kind of the theme of chasing your dream. Is that something that you focused on, or is that unintentional?
No, I think it's intentional. Look, you've heard the story a million times, and
I know,
I'm going to rehash it. But EB came over to my house. After my first year of law school, I'm working for a judge. We hated our first jobs after college. We hated them. So EB's trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life, and he starts studying for a master's. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I start pursuing law school. He pops over to my house one day because at the time, his girlfriend, now his wife, lived in our childhood neighborhood in Bowie. So he was in Bowie all the time, popping over to his mom's. He wasn't living at his parents' house at the time, but he was there probably half the time. And so I'm home for the summer at my parents' house, and he popped over. We'd hang out normally, and he goes, hey, do you want to start a cable access TV show? And I was like, yeah, why not?
Well,
and literally called Cakes that night, who was just getting married. He was kind of moving on in his life. He's working at Toys R Us, but let's be real. He's working at Toys R Us. And we shot this little video on EB's oversized camera. And in a way, it was kind of a light bulb moment. It was like, hey, this is cool. Let's see what we can do with it.
Right.
And then once it started kind of going and the engine started running, it was like, let's chase this dream.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was leading with, is that this book is a great book for, let's say, you know, you're 50, 55. You've been listening to the show a long time. I think it's a great book to kind of give your kids for Christmas, because when you're at that age at 18, 19, 20, and you just graduate college, you have no idea what you want to do in life.
Yeah, and I think
what comes out in this book is you guys really didn't have any idea what you wanted to do until you finally stumbled upon it and took the chance to go forward and do it.
Yeah, it was a light bulb moment for us. And yeah, you're having friends with your boys, and at first you're doing it for fun. But part of the story is, and look, media is different now. Part of the story is, I was chasing to get newspapers. Mm-hmm. And the newspaper, I mean, people don't even read newspapers anymore. The newspaper changed our life. An article written about the junkies changed the trajectory of our lives. There's no doubt about it. But that was something where EB and I, at the time, were kind of the most driven on the BCTV show. Mm-hmm. And we were like, how do we take this to the next level? How do we make the show better? And boom, we get on the radio. Then we're on the weekend radio. And this is like a little inside baseball in the book. There was a lot about chasing Leonard Shapiro, who was a media critic for the Washington Post.
Right.
And the editor was like, dude, you're putting in too much about chasing. But like, I was obsessed with getting in the Washington Post. And I would send a monthly letter that was ignored with our guest list, with our ratings, every month. And it would just be ignored. But I was like, I'm just going to keep doing it and keep doing it. And EB one day was like, why don't you send one to his boss? And I sent it to his boss, and like 2 weeks later, Leonard Shapiro, who did not like us, all of a sudden goes, I guess I'll give you a pop. And like, he basically lifted paragraphs from the letters I was sending him, slapped it into the Washington Post. I felt like I wrote that article. But in those early years, when you were talking
but
to
that was
question,
after Dave wrote his.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Well, Dick Heller was the very first. Yeah. But the that is what you're talking about, chasing the dream. Like in the early years, yes, it was like, how do we get on? How do we get popular?
Right.
And then once the engine's rolling, it's like, well, now we're kind of living the dream. And you guys know this. Day to day, it becomes a grind. Like the book, in a way, is like a 10,000-foot perspective, kind of looking down on what you have accomplished in 25 years. By no means are we done.
Right.
You know, you can say, well, maybe he's going to be done in 3 years, 5 years.
You know what I think about all the time is if the junkies were – eight or just after college in 2021, mm-hmm. How would they get noticed now?
Well,
the cable TV thing would never work.
Well, that's the thing. Going viral back then was getting an article written about you.
Right.
You would have to go viral, as EB
says.
Like
that would like, they would start a podcast and then they're sending the checks to.
Yeah, everyone starts a podcast.
You got to hit on YouTube. I'm a big fan of Quentin Mayo, right. But he was somebody that I guess got discovered via Twitch or YouTube. But yeah, it was totally different. But that was... Look, like we were lucky.
Yeah, that's how Danny was discovered. We were,
his daughter's successful doing it, so they could recreate it if they had to right now.
I don't know. It's hard to do.
It would
because
be.
There's
four
millions
guys together working on the same thing, and like he said, him and EB really were passionate about trying to make it better. I think it could work.
Yeah, but there's 10 million Tom, Dick, and Harrys out there doing the same thing.
You have to be lucky. We were lucky, mm-hmm. But we made our luck. Like, we pushed. And we were at that point in our life when you're trying to figure out what to do, which, you know, in your chapter, Valdez, we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. I remember when you told me how you kind of hooked up with the junkies, it was, you know, you had a tragedy in your life.
Yes.
With a roommate who passed away, and your parents kind of prodded you, right?
Yeah, they kind of poked me to do it. To the point,
not necessarily to meet the junkies, but they said, hey, you got to figure out what's going on with your life.
Well, yeah, they said, you should go intern for the show because you like it and you listen to it. And I was, I still am a huge super fan of the show. And then to the point where my second semester, I faked my internship so I could still work for it.
So you got 3 credits?
No, I didn't get any credits when I faked
it. No, what he's saying is he was... Back then,
that's how I made my own luck, because I faked an internship.
Right. Back then, to be an intern, you had to be able to receive college credits. Well, he already did for his first semester of internship.
Yeah, they wouldn't give me more credits.
So he couldn't get more credits, but he faked it. I guess he told CK or Brett or whoever was in charge.
Yeah, I just gave him a phony. I gave him a phony piece of paper.
That's silly.
Brett, the big dummy, couldn't even figure it out.
Hey, that's how I fought a professional boxing match. I remember I showed up to this office. And I think it was Richmond, Virginia. And it was like this official commissioner of whatever the heck they call the boxing thing.
Yeah.
And I had a letter from like a fake coach saying that I boxed in college and I had all this stuff so that I could get professionally licensed.
Yeah, wow. We're like the donk that fudged his resume at Georgia Tech. Who is it? Who's the coach?
George O'Kelly or George Nick,
O'Leary. O'Leary. Yeah, that's basically what we did.
That's fine.
Hey, I have a question also about old school radio. What's one of the things that you miss that you wish that the show could do now that did back then?
This is a good question. A lot of people ask us about that. I mean, obviously,
times have
changed.
Yeah, radio's changed so much.
I don't know that I miss that much because I think we've adapted pretty good. And you guys, for people that don't know, our producers protect us. So sometimes when we slip up and drop certain words,
Jason,
our producers,
Jason, about two to three times a week. Jason probably would have gotten the show fired yesterday.
But I don't think those things are critical. Like, you know, there's some things that I haven't written about in the book that were maybe more risque, but I don't think that's really what the show is about.
Not necessarily risque, but like maybe like different elements. Because when I thought of that question, I thought you guys love list had that music in the background. Like something like that would be.
And I write about that music fun. In the background. I think the music in the background for the show, for those that don't know, when we started on the weekends in 1996, the first couple of shows didn't have the music in the background, but this is one of those things I was kind of obsessed. So I would do the show on the weekends and drive back to Philadelphia every weekend. And Mr. Bickle, EB's dad, used to tape every one of our shows. And so I would come home on Friday to Bowie, and we would tape the shows first on Saturdays on WJFK on the weekends, the new sports weekend, and then eventually it was Saturdays and Sundays. And then before I drove back to Philadelphia to Temple Law School, I would get the tapes from Mr. Bickle, and I'd listen back. And like early on, I listened, and like when we were coming out of breaks, sometimes with the music, we'd start talking about Seven Mary Three like we did today, and then it would lead into a tangent, and it just seemed like we were more comfortable and like having more fun with the music in the background. So it ended up being the whole show. Let's just play it. And it gave us kind of a different sound than the other shows.
It was like a blankie when you're sleeping a little bit.
And every other show,
they just played music.
I know. All I can think about as a producer is just the ASCAP fee. Yeah.
But every other show at the time was kind of modeled after Mike and the Mad Dog, right? Like locally in D.C., there was a sports station, and it was Kylie and the Coach, or Doc and Dan. And even at WJFK, when they created the new sports weekend, it was Larry Michael, a professional broadcaster, paired up with Charles Mann from the Redskins. And it was Earl Forsey, radio guy, with Dan Daly from the Washington Times. So it kind of distinguished us. Like, we were younger guys, we didn't have any resume, and we sounded different. But then after a couple years, like a lot of people would say, and they still say, Cakes and I sound very similar. Jason's voice is the only one that stands out. When you have four voices, on our show, six voices, having the music to a lot of listeners would say it was distracting. Yeah. And after a while, it was like, well, we don't need that. We don't need the blankie. We don't need the whoopee. Mm-hmm. And we removed the music. And I don't think that has killed us. We're still barking.
Right. So here's my biggest question about the book. You wrote this entire book without telling the three other guys.
No, they knew. They knew during the process that I was writing the book.
How long did you wait until to tell them?
I think after I'd written maybe two chapters.
Oh, I thought you'd waited months to tell them.
No. They were in on it pretty early.
Are they quoted throughout the book?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the thing is, quoted throughout the book? There are quotes a lot from Straight Audio. So a lot of the book, you know, again, I thank Valdez that I might have asked him along the way, hey, do you have this? And sometimes he couldn't find it. You know, like the NFL draft.
Yes, you kept putting
it. It's a very small chapter in the book. It's called Road Trip. But I wanted to talk about.
Yes, that
cool thing, like people probably ask you guys all the time, is it cool to work in radio? And when you work day to day, it's like, it's just a job, right? Uh-huh. But like when you look back on it, like, it is pretty cool that we've been to Super Bowls or whatever, and the NFL draft was the first time.
That was your first big road trip broadcast.
Like back then, we're 27, 28 years old. And Cakes is married, has a kid. EB's married at the time. I think I'm about to get married for the first time, and Jason's about to get married. Whatever. So when you start kind of getting that point in life, you don't hang out as much and like drinking like you did in college and stuff. So like the road trips were always kind of a highlight for us. Like now, 25 years in, you hear us bitch and moan. Oh, we got to go to the airport. Mostly, you know, EB and Lurch, whatever. Right. But it's like cool. It's cool. Like, all
yeah,
of a
you
sudden,
guys don't get to do this.
I mean, we freaking interviewed Peyton Manning. Like, all of a sudden, we're there. And so that's why I was trying to fetch that audio. So in terms of quoting the junkies on something like that, it's more kind of what was your perspective on it. I might not get, like, EB said this about the NFL draft, but they did help me along the way, mostly through email, by the way. I didn't take them to dinner every time.
He's the only one that got dinner?
Hey, that makes me feel silly.
I think he's just trying to fatten you up.
I think I took one other guy to Coastal Flats, like that's my joint in the old neighborhood.
I know, and he went all out.
It was Schwartzy.
You know, JP was basically saying thank you for getting all that audio.
It. So you know what, Awad? I will take you to dinner at some point.
He'll buy you a drink at Pamplona.
So my question was today on the show, actually, EB was talking about how he's enjoying the book, but he said something I didn't really understand. He said, my first reaction to the book was negative.
Why is that? Well, you'd have to ask EB, but there are certain things that I wrote about that he's a little worried about the reaction. You know,
like someone's going to dig up the past and get the show fired?
Well, maybe that.
Don't give people ideas, Drew.
You know, maybe there'll be a future radio war. Like, I'm very honest about something that happened with Don Geronimo, who at one point was our boss.
That's juicy.
We've never really talked about it on the radio. We've alluded to it on the radio. But there was a point in our career where we were riding super high in terms of ratings, and we were nationally syndicated, and we then ended up losing the national syndication. But we had a super agent, Robert Eatman, who has passed away. But Bob Eatman was one of these guys who really helped us in our career. And when Opie and Anthony took over, I'm giving you a lot of the in the weed stuff, but Opie and Anthony were a popular show in New York. They took over Afternoon Drive. Don and Mike got moved to middays. We're on at night. And Don somehow became our boss. Well, we had number one ratings. We actually had the highest ratings at the station. And then he started kind of interfering with our show. Partly, we didn't even know about it. It was mostly with the producers behind the scenes. But then when we found out about it, when he was putting the kibosh on our guests, and to be honest, the other three junkies besides Jason didn't even care about the guests. Jason was trying to get like obscure baseball players on the show. And then Don was like spiking it. But the four of us as a team were like, hey, it's our show. If Lurch wants to put on this stupid guest, put on the stupid guest.
Yes.
And Don came in. I'll save it for the book, but Don came in very dramatically to try and show us who was boss, and we weren't buying it. And what I'd like to say is, a few months later, we signed a new contract, and Don voluntarily stepped down from his position as creative program director.
I like to think that's why JP keeps me around now, is I have big muscles. And anytime CK wants to flex, I go take care of the business.
Hold up. So when we get to your chapter,
he's the muscle.
Yeah. No, he called me a broad shoulder, burly man or something. And
there you go.
Trust me, I know. It was the first
was
thing
it
I did.
Okay?
Yes, that's fine.
I said we had a ride.
I highlighted this.
I feel weird. Somebody told me, at your book signings, are going to do readings. I was like, I'm not going to read from the book. Yeah. That'll make me feel very self-conscious. But I guess that's what traditionally authors do.
Yeah. I want to hear this.
But here it is.
Let me look at Drab's face.
And I guess I can't give away Drab's chapter. I'm sorry.
I mean, if you want to know, just go on Twitter. It's all over.
We also Instagram now, too.
Yeah. And a lot of people have asked, should I do an audiobook? And this is straight up. It would be a big project to do an audiobook, but my thought was, Drab reads his chapter, Valdez reads his chapter, Awad, you get in skits and bits and talk about lying. but I wrote, we also had a rising star.
Rising star.
Who started interning for us the previous fall.
You should have put that in bold. That's
Matt Myers was a burly, broad-shouldered senior at the University of Maryland. After his roommate died in a drunk driving accident, his parents encouraged him to plan his career.
Thank you.
And it goes on and on.
Yeah, thank you. Burly.
He wasn't broad-shouldered when he was
19. I was too.
You were a peep squeaker back
then. I was silly.
But he was a rising star in this way. And look, I'll say this. Bit season, you can pummel me. You hate the title of the book. Well, I forget your list of complaints.
My grievances.
But one thing, the Washington Post is going to have an article, and I talked to the Washington Post about this, about the book, is, yes, it's the four of us, but we've always had a great team. And going back to before Valdez became a producer on the show, we had a great team, and eventually things changed. you know, Brett left the show, CK left the show as he became our boss. But when you encounter somebody like Matt Valdez, you're like,
that's right.
When the position opened up, it was a no-brainer for us to hire you as producer.
Hey, I want to...
That's crazy. A no-brainer.
A no-brainer.
He's a no-brainer.
Well, he'd been hanging around long enough.
It was a sympathy job. Yeah. Hey, JP, you mentioned all these teams of producers and sidekicks and the cast of characters with the show. If you had to put together the all-star producer class, who would
starting
be
starting five?
Yeah, who would be the producer ranking for you?
Joe Ardinger. I get Rick whenever Joe Ardinger.
I'm gonna be straight up. Like if you're Mount Rushmore of producers.
Yeah, the Mount Rushmore of producers.
CK, Brett, Valdez, Drab.
You notice right. He said my name before yours.
That's fine. I don't think they're in order on Mount Rushmore.
Definitely said Valdez first.
I believe that was actually chronological.
Yes,
CK, Brett, Valdez, Drab.
So we got.
But I'll say Jim McClure was amazing in the early years. He's the one who actually read that article and then came to his boss and said, I think you guys should give these guys a tryout. And in the early years, we did one tryout. We'd never done a radio demo, and they didn't particularly love it. They loved Jason's voice. Like, Jason became the lead of the show because they loved his voice. And I had been the lead.
I know, right?
I know, it's weird. But like, I had been the lead of the TV show in a way, meaning kind of like how you guys decide. I just kind of threw out the topics, right? So we had like a word association segment, and I would go, Phil Regan. And I would look at Lurch, and then he would do his comment, and I would look at EB. And so I was kind of the bus driver. We did the first demo, and they loved Jason's voice. They basically said the demo was a train wreck. Like, we think he should do all of the commercials, like the ins and outs and all that stuff. And then a couple years later, actually,
no wonder he hates doing it so much during
the weekend show, Jason was doing all the ins and outs.
Correct.
Wow.
And up until really,
he got a little floor dragging.
He's so lazy.
up until actually Don Geronimo took over as program director. Now I'll say this, like, we had a weird relationship with Don. Mike was always great to us, and Don supported the show, but he was focused on his show. Right. To be fair to him, he was focused on his show. And when he became our boss, he did have some good suggestions. I'm not going to say all of his suggestions weren't bad, but I remember we had this first meeting with Don as creative program director, and we're like, oh, like at that time, like I said, we're riding high at nights. In DC, we were number one rated, book after book after book. And it's like, why mess with the show? And our previous bosses basically were laissez-faire, let us do whatever we wanted. And all of a sudden, a guy wants to come in and, hey, you should do this. Like, immediately,
put his hands all over your show.
He moved our producer. Like, yeah, we busted Slow Joe's balls all on the air all the time. He was like, I think that this is a distraction to your show. You guys rip into your producer too much. I'm going to move him to my show. We had no say in that. It was like, boom. That happened. But at the end of that very first meeting, Jason actually goes, I don't want to do the ins and outs anymore after like 3 or 4 years of doing it. And at that time we were kind of doing half and half. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then eventually I started doing more of that and Jason less. So that type of inside baseball is in Still Barking.
Yes.
So we got JP in here to review the book, and Drab, last week you said we were going to put him on the hot seat. I'm ready for the joning. I want the hard-hitting questions. I'll get it started. So I'm looking.
You just got the book. You know the best part is, like, literally, he didn't have the book. And 10 minutes before we did this, I was like, "Do you have a book?" He's like, "No." And then I gave him a free copy. So let's hear the hard-hitting questions.
So, I'm looking through this book here. It ends on page 314.
Okay.
I don't know if you're doing a John 314 bit.
No.
But
what?
There are
316, you dummy.
I know.
There are 12 blank pages at the end of the book. What do you expect me to do here?
Nothing. Most of the books actually don't have those 12 blank pages. I just learned this. So I got 80 or 90 cases of books in the last 4 to 5 days. This is inside baseball, but they have been printed in Delaware, South Carolina, Chicago. Mm. They've been printed in all several cities. And each of the printers have different looks. Yes. Most of them did not have those blank pages.
Adam, do you remember?
It actually bothered me to see that yesterday. I saw that for the first time because the first probably 500 books that I've packaged and looked at, because before I'd put them in a packaging envelope, I would look at it real quick And most of them did not have those blank pages. And last night at the book signing, I saw it. So I don't know why, but I'm not returning them.
Adam, do you remember when you were in high school and college and you had to write a 5-page paper, but you're too stupid and you only could write a 2-page paper and you had to fill it with a larger font, double spaced between? That's the same thing going on here. You got to make the book look big, so you throw some extra pages in the back.
That's what I was wondering.
But like, it's inside baseball.
Are we supposed to write our own little story add-on? What do they call that?
That's because you're still barking. That's because you're still barking and there's room for more stories.
I mean, I'm just going to be serious. Drab has a book here, okay? Yeah. It was printed in South Carolina. There aren't any blank pages afterwards.
Yeah.
So that's some sort of printing quirk. I could complain about it, or people are just going to live with 8 blank pages at the end of the book.
Mine was printed in Massachusetts.
All right, here's my hot seat question.
There we go.
Did you botch the supply chain management and the release date of this book?
I don't think I did.
Because we got a lot of messages about angry listeners, angry in quotation marks, about where's my book? I ordered it November 2nd.
Right.
If you had to do it over again, what would you do different?
If I had to do it over again, I would have spent more time. And you know this. I made the announcement before Coach Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera comes on Tuesdays at 8:25. So I may have been a little bit more organized during that announcement. And we had a couple calls, if I recall, to say that it was for pre-orders. Now, I think one time I went back and looked at it and several people said I ordered it via pre-order. But I didn't emphasize it was pre-orders. So the book...
That's where the confusion was.
The book didn't go to the printer until, I think it was November 10th or November... So somewhere between November 10th and November 14th.
You should have done an RG3 bit.
And then, right. So yes, I could say I botched it. The other thing is that's out of my control. Look, I've never done it before. Yes, I wrote a book, Chasing Rocky, but this was a totally different experience. This one, it's not to denigrate Chasing Rocky, but this one, I had a real editor. The book was shaped, and I hated it along the way, but I was challenged almost in every chapter. The original ending of the book moved to prologue. Certain chapters were split. Added
like you're a real
chapters.
Author.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when I first met with the guy, we talked about shipping. And he seemed like it was going to be very easy. He's done 18 books. Sometimes the printer only takes 2 or 3 days. Well, when we finally send the book to the printer, I'm hoping it's going to be 2 to 3 days, but I'm not in control of that. And who knows? There is a supply chain issue. The book I would have liked to have arrived to my house a week before Thanksgiving. It arrived 2 days after Thanksgiving, and the cases have started coming. Right. And so now I'm in this position where I want to get the book out as fast as possible. And I've inserted myself in the shipping business, and my wife has inserted herself in the packaging business, and I wasn't going to be part of that. The original time is like, he's going to do it all. I'm going to pay you $2 a book, and you just get that thing out so I don't have to deal with it.
My other question,
long answer, but maybe you're right.
My other question was, why Lurch? Lurch didn't grow up in Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And I always hear about your childhood friends, about like Stumper and Tommy Horse Camp. Is Jason just lucky that he was the only one that had nothing going on?
A little bit.
He was the best actor of you, right?
Oh, yeah. No, Jason.
Jason's story doesn't fit.
Yeah, because Jason was friends with Eric at the Matha.
No,
so, but they weren't. He wasn't a part of the childhood.
No, but they loved him neighborhood. Like, he wasn't the big silly basketball player.
The P section.
That's not why we added him. I mean, I write about this. If you buy Still Barking, you get all the nitty gritty. But here's the deal.
And you get to see Jason in short shorts.
Here's the deal. I'm gonna try not to flame you on it. But we're about to do the first show. It's gonna be me, Eric, EB, and Cakes. The three of us are gonna do it. Cakes all of a sudden calls me or Eric and says, can't do the show. I got to work a double at Toys R Us. So Eric and I look at each other and like, do we want to do a two-man show? Like at the time, there was a political show called Crossfire. This is like pre-PTI days, right?
Yeah, I know
but
Crossfire.
It was like, we don't want to just do a two-man show. It was like, who do we know who knows sports?
And
who's available as our boys? So like, I think you're underselling. I've known Jason since he was 15 years old. Like, because half of our friends, Cakes and I went to Roosevelt, which was a magnet school, but half of kind of our crew went to either Roosevelt or DeMatha. And, like, I went to the Comedy Cafe as a senior with girlfriends Jason brought his girlfriend. Cakes was there with his girlfriend. It was like a group of 10 people. Like, we've all known each other. We hung out at in college together. But so EB and I are kind of like, what are we going to do? Jason, luckily, had just moved to Bowie, moved in with one of his buddies, and he was trying to get a career in sports, interning and that kind of stuff. And so we just called him. Old school. Now you would text. Called him on the phone. He answers the phone. Hey, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. Do you want to do a TV show with us? What are you talking about, a TV show? We're about to do a cable access show. So he shows up. We told him, grab a...
No prep. Something's haven't changed.
We told him, grab a... We were wearing ties. We told him, grab a tie and a shirt. I think he showed up with shorts because we had a desk.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, if you watch like our first couple of shows, because Lurch was like big, and we just like kind of inherited some other desk that like a political show used, that you could kind of see his legs and like his shorts creeping out past the table. Nubs. But we did that first show. And, like, I was prepared, and we do the topics. Like, Jason kind of crushed it. Like, he was, like, good. And
you were surprised by his performance.
No, I had no expectations. But once he does that first show, again, we're not thinking about 25 years down the road. Yeah, we're not thinking about doing a radio show. But we're doing a freaking free show on Bowie cable television. Are we going to like bump him because right. Cakes is coming back?
So Cakes is the lucky one.
Cakes
should have gotten fired for not.
Well, keep in mind, Jason was a broadcast student, comm major, right?
Yeah,
I know, like, but it always ricks me whenever I tell the junkie story and I say they grew up in the same neighborhood.
But they did.
But Jason didn't, you know, right. They were childhood friends. And
there's a lot of lazy, I've learned this. There are a lot of
ricks you.
No, but he understands the story because I think a lot of lazy journalists, to be honest, a lot of people that have written articles about us over the years, or even on TV, their quick teaser will be four guys who grew up together instantly. Like even what Annie U did something on us a couple years ago. So it'll be on Channel 9, and they just always lump us as four childhood friends, and Jason is more since high school.
Gotcha. Well, you know you can do
that.
But
you know, I want to learn more. It only was a sentence, but Drab... In the Drab is the New Black chapter in Still Barking. Go out and buy it. Stillbarking.com. You started what? The Matt and what was the first show you did? It was like the MC.
MC and Jason show?
MC and Jason.
Yeah. I mean, Art.
What is MC and Jason?
Matt Cahill.
Matt Cahill, MC. And in high school, everyone called.
You went by MC?
Everyone called me BMC.
Oh, this is intriguing.
Yeah, back in the day, in our radio
station.
Did
you used to rap?
Yeah, did you DJ at parties?
MC, MC.
Did you get on the mic?
This is actually in the book. We were so stupid. We are my radio show, because I work for a student radio station, but it was like...
How many bullies like called you Gayhill in school?
A couple guys. Hey. Right. We had a flamethrower. It was like WTOP, our student radio station, and we played alternative rock.
Yeah, alt rock. Like, that's what you do when you're young.
Like hardcore rock, and so like all the emo kids back then, they loved the station, and so it was actually pretty popular, even though it was just students running the station. So we had my first show was MC and Jason show, and we just ripped off David Letterman's top 10 from the night before and used it as our own material. And nobody ever knew.
Was that ever even saying it was Letterman's top 10?
No, we just said the Thursday night top 10. It's so embarrassing. Wait, I'm 16 years old.
Okay.
Like, I'm barely even, you know, I know how to turn on a microphone. Yeah, we had a 2-hour show.
Hey,
radio instincts.
Hey, not to give away the whole book. Not to give away the whole book, but also write about when Brett left the show, his brother passes away, and Brett had been with us for years, and he is on the Mount Rushmore along with you guys of Junkies producers. We kind of had an executive producer position open. What do you remember? You guys talked to me about it, about sitting down in a conference room with the four junkies for an actual interview.
Well, that was like my first real interview, basically.
In life?
Kind of, yeah. Besides my, yeah, I did. I'm pretty sure I dressed up.
Yeah, he wore a suit.
Totally.
Even though he was already working with us,
yeah. I definitely did not wear a suit. I know that.
Well, how did you get the job, then? You didn't wear a suit?
I went in there, and I told him, the show stinks. You guys aren't prepared.
You came in slinging mud. Really?
I could barely focus because EB was on his phone the entire time.
Right.
It's actually a huge... It wrecks me to this day. It was the biggest moment of my life.
You know,
professional life.
I always like to envision Blue Shorts' interview.
I know.
I don't want to know because he's so jittery and so spastic, and is such a serious like room. Like, how was he gonna command that room? Like,
he didn't.
Right. Exactly.
I
don't want to give away everything, but I talk about your perspective because I interviewed you about it.
Uh-huh.
I got your perspective, and I got Blue Shorts' perspective, but Blue Shorts almost shot himself down during the interview. Like, he was almost...
I don't know why you'd hire me.
He kind of came in there
give
like...
Give it to Drab or Valdez. Yeah. Better for this. I'm bombing.
Yeah, you know how he is.
Yeah. Hopefully I followed Blue Shorts. I would have looked like a rock star. I would look like Gary Delabate.
I think he might have been the leadoff, but... It doesn't even matter. It's all worked out.
It all worked out for sure. And I think this book is awesome. I'm
yes, we encourage all of our biddies to go out and purchase Still Barking. Go to stillbarking.com.
Cool. Well, here's the deal. I don't plan to write a book next year because it was thousands of hours. Wait,
you're thinking about another book?
Oh, I have another book in my head, but it has nothing to do with you guys.
Hold on,
but
that's breaking news. That's something Bit Season needs to dive into.
It's not about me. It's not about the junkies. But Bit Season, that could be a show. I know my guy John last night, I was telling Valdez. Valdez met my guy John. He's super high up in Potbelly. I don't know what his job title is, but he actually used this word. He started to ask me about Matt. You must have been called yourself Matt, yeah. Not Valdez. So I can't remember if he said Matt or Valdez, but he's like, Matt really impressed me.
Silly. Wow. Hey, I could be a sandwich artist. When this show ends, I'll be a sandwich artist.
But I think he was impressed by the way that Matt carried himself, even though we are all donks, the way he interacted with listeners, the way that he was kind of talking to the show.
It was awesome because, I got to start paying everybody that goes in line to get the book to tell how much they love Bit Season because John is a potential sponsor. Everyone's a potential sponsor.
He was blown away by the...
He was blown away.
You guys got cameo love.
Oh, yeah. And we got cameo love.
Like several people like said, I ordered your gynecologist.
This guy, his wife was doing the...
the gyno exam.
Yeah, the gyno exam.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we told him not to confuse the labia majora and labia minora.
right. We get a lot of weird cameo requests.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
There was also a group of ladies that we did a cameo for, and I kind of forget. We've done so many cameos.
So how about this? What I'm saying is 5-year anniversary of Bit Season. We don't have to wait 25 years. Get the 5 when you guys don't have 10,000 downloads, when you have 10 million downloads.
Yeah, I think we need to kick AWOD off to hit
that. Look at this. I don't respond to that. Yeah.
It's been said before.
We need Don Geronimo to come here and fire AWOD.
You actually got to find another like podcast to drop him on.
Oh, look at his face.
I'm just...
He didn't see it going this way.
Hey, but I didn't see this coming. For AWOD, I owe you dinner. We're going to be at Pamplona on Saturday for a book signing. So, Valdez, thank you once again for coming.
Yeah, no problem. Work on your signature, by the way.
I'll be honest. I did not know what to expect last night because I just started shipping on Monday. And what's a book signing when people haven't received their books yet? But a ton of people came out and bought their books. And a lot of people came who had bought their books and they just picked them up.
Right.
And I would just
mark them as shipped.
But one thing I am very proud of, and I think all of you guys are proud of it, we have built a great audience of listeners that love us and love our show, and I'm totally appreciative for it. And the book, however you want to say it, it's a culmination. I don't think it's a culmination, but none of it would be possible without them. And I try not to ever lose sight that all of those donks that are asking for the This Is Matt Valdez sign, those are the guys that make our careers possible.
That's very true. Very well said,
and your
JP.
Biddies... Yes. Make Bit Season possible. The Richmond Johns.
I don't think Biddies is sticking. No matter how hard I try,
You're really hammering the Biddies.
I am a fan of Biddies. I like it.
That might not be. Hey.
It's not sticking.
Think of that as the title.
What, the not biddy. Sticking?
Biddies.
Oh, Biddies.
Well, still, you never
still
know.
Biddies.
Let me tell you.
this show is tied pretty closely to the Junks. Right? So the Junks end, bit season might be ending too.
And speaking of this interview,
run out of material.
And speaking of running out of material, JP, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining Bit Season. We're glad this is out and we can help promote it. And it's an awesome read. And if you're a fan of Bit Season, you should definitely be reading this book. And I encourage all of the listeners to go out because we haven't done an appearance in like 3 years.
I know.
It's, it was awesome because, you know, you haven't been able to shake hands and, you know, high five people and talk to people. And it was cool.
Be honest, I learned yesterday I need a number two because I was in a weird position where I just want to kind of talk to people and sign a book. But then they're like handing me cash and I'm making change, or they're Venmoing me, or I was doing a slide with the charge card. I need somebody to handle the transactions.
AWOD will do that for you at Pamplona.
Yeah, I'm being too wasted.
But just to put out, just to put it out there, I have a book signing tomorrow in Gaithersburg,
Friday.
Which is Friday. Okay. Potbelly. Saturday, we're doing Pacers in Pamplona. The next week, I'm hitting Bowie. I'm trying to get to as many different spots. A lot of people ask, when are you coming to Leesburg? When are you coming here? I think next week, I'm at Dulles Motor Cars. They've been a huge sponsor of the show for a long time. That's next Friday. And then I got the P1 party, which hopefully all of you are going to be at. Big John already ruined one of my surprises, but I have a couple of surprises in the works.
That's awesome.
Well, I can't wait for the P1 party. AWOD, are you going to that?
Oh, absolutely. Any chance to meet fans, I love it. And
well, they're I thought fans of yours. I will be there. I will be there.
Fans of yours. Hey, I want you to do me a favor for the Bit Season. I want you to do a book report. I'm still barking. I think that would be a funny bit.
Buy you a pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Hey, all of his preparation just came up with the blank pages on his particular book.
You got to come up with themes and foreshadowing, all of that literary fun stuff that you learned in high school.
All right. Write me. Like an assignment sheet, you know what I mean? Like,
he just gave me the assignment. Yeah, the assignment was write a book report about the book.
Yeah. Have you ever done a book report before?
It's been a long time.
He forged all of them. I copied them from his friends.
Most of my book reports were Spark Notes mixed with Google.
I still remember when EB was challenging you about your diploma.
Yeah.
Back in the day. This is when you first start working for us. EB... You started bragging about your grades, and you brought in a paper that was like a B minus.
That's the funniest thing ever.
I felt really good about it. I spent the weekend.
It was full of errors.
It should have been an A.
Who would do that?
Yeah. But JP, thank you again for joining.
I'm just hanging around because I don't know when I can take my phone. Oh. AWOD puts up the phone. I don't know if you guys are still doing the show.
There you go.
That's JP Flame, author of Still Barking. And thank you for being the first guest on Bit Season.
Stillbarking.com. Get your book and check out the schedule of appearances if you didn't catch all what he just told you guys. So stillbarking.com. Thank you, JP.
Thank you.
All right, and there goes JP. That was fun. I enjoyed that interview with JP and Still Barking.
That was our first interview. JP was a good guest. I'm glad we could have a junkie sit in.
He did turn it around and start interviewing Drab, though, at one point.
I thought we were going to do all the questions that JP asked guests on the show, which
I know we were gonna
have a list of things and get his blank reaction to.
I was gonna ask JP what the last concert he went to was and what his walk up song wanted to be, and to really think about it.
Get back to us next week.
Yes, and what kind. You know, after the show, what kind of pop do you like to have? you're celebrating. What kind of pop do you have?
Right.
All right. No. Rapid fire.
Word association.
Word association. Rapid fire. If I say something, just respond real quick. live reads.
That was fun. That was a good job, and we are very excited and happy for JP. But we wanted to do a little bit of our own Bit Season shtick here. If you've listened to the Junkies this week, there's been almost no non-sports. Now, a lot of that was because Monday, Washington football team played. Tuesday was the recap. That leaves Wednesday and Thursday, and obviously we didn't have a show of Friday of last week. There hasn't been a lot of non-sports or even, should I say, Valdez, producer involvement in the show.
Oh,
All right.
I guess we should probably set this up, right?
Let's get into it.
You guys
it a
need to
bit.
Set it up for the audience and for me because I had no idea what was going on.
Because you're not listening.
Yeah, you don't listen to the show.
No, I listened to the show, but it wasn't really brought up on air. It seemed like it was a lot of behind the glass and, you know, commercial break talk. EB was Rick. I'll let you guys take it from there.
EB is Rick at us, and I think he still is, to be honest. We haven't really talked to him that much this week. On Monday on the show, we were talking about sports betting and placing some bets, I think for Monday Night Football, and EB didn't know where to place bets on the FanDuel app, I believe.
I don't know if he was talking about the FanDuel app, which is...
Or his, like, he didn't know how to use his bonus or his credit on the side.
He couldn't find his free play bonus.
And Valdez started joning on him, and he got pretty Rick. And I got lumped into it. I didn't even do anything at
no,
that time.
No, it's because we also took a shot when talking about the Manning cast. Because Eric was kind of confused as to why.
Oh, he said it was because it was Thanksgiving and
yes,
that's
thought,
why they
yes,
weren't.
Yes, he thought that maybe the Manning family was in town and they were doing stuff with Cooper.
Well, they actually on the Manning cast said they weren't going to be together for Thanksgiving. I watch the Manning cast every week.
Right. Well, it's besides the point.
Right. All right. Well, first of all,
you're getting lost in the weeds.
Let's listen to some of the audio here of Monday of EB snapping at the producers.
I'm saying if it was the Mannings, I would assume they had family obligations on Thanksgiving, didn't want to work on Thanksgiving. That's a crazy thought. Why are you mocking?
Well, when they signed their contract,
Thanksgiving.
It might just be a fluky thing. When they signed their contract.
It also could be that the game is a miserable game for the rest of the country.
They signed it for 10 games, I think.
Yeah, a certain number of games.
8 or 10 games, so it's
probably
like two games on, one off.
I'm going to start mocking everything Valdez says. Yeah. Literally everything he says, because that's what he does to me, and it's annoying.
Uh-oh.
Just so you know, it is annoying.
Oh, well, there's a lot of things that are annoying.
Yeah. Well, add it to the list. You're mocking me every time I say something, I'm tired of it. Just so you know.
By the way, and that's just the stuff they say on air.
Imagine the off-air stuff. All the time. They just want to mock. It's annoying. I'm sorry.
Man, it's good to be back.
The truth. I have to speak the truth.
Your truth.
Yeah, My truth.
Your truth.
My truth.
Well, there's no Manning cast scheduled outside of next week for the rest of the season. So I'm not sure about your wraparound Thanksgiving theory.
Because they're Dunsky after next week?
They might add more, but there's none scheduled.
I'm not saying I know exactly why.
Maybe they're looking forward to a Christmas wraparound.
Yeah, maybe Archie's in town for Hanukkah.
Ha 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 ha!
I was a little bit stunned when he exploded on us.
So was I. Came out of nowhere, I thought.
EB is the king Joner. He's the show bully. He makes everyone feel terrible about themselves.
Of course.
I don't even think what we were doing, that was like light Joning.
I don't know. We weren't even going that hard.
Serious at all.
I don't know. And I'm a little upset because Eric thinks that we're picking on him. We pick on everybody.
I think everybody gets picked on, especially the producers. That's the thing that like kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. I kind of thought we were all in it together. Like we all just make fun of each other,
right?
And it's no big deal. Like they call you white trash from Pasadena,
right? They talk about my spotted penis so much. You think I'm happy that I have vitiligo on the head of my penis?
I mean, how many times has
does that make you laugh?
Right. How many times
you say the word penis makes
how many times has EB made cracks about my man boobs or called me a druggie?
Yes.
Just like taking
big
shots.
Lips.
Big lips. Just taking like unnecessary shots at me.
Balding. Yeah.
Nobody, I've never seen a bigger bully in my life than EB is to AWOD.
Just destroys me.
He just destroys you. And we weren't even being that mean to him. We were like basically just chirping him a little bit.
I think the word that really rankled him was mocking. He said we were mocking him.
Yeah.
How is that? Is mocking different than joning?
I mean, we were mocking him a little bit because it was such like rudimentary stuff that he didn't know. But I thought it was fine. Like, he talks in questions all the time. Like, he asks some of them are dumb questions. And what he was saying was just kind of like stupid. Like, kind of figure it out. I don't know. We don't even know what you're talking about on this app. It's your app. Like, figure it out. Like, it can't be that hard. And so it was just some light mocking, and he kind of exploded on us. But I think the result of that is we haven't participated in any joning ourselves this week after that.
Right. It's been a Joan-free behind the glass.
And I actually think the show. That even carried into today's show, at least for me, because the only thing that we brought up, and we didn't, it was on Twitter that we noticed it, is that JP was standing on his tippy toes during the photo shoot at Potbelly
because he's such a short knocker and he didn't want to be emasculated.
I thought it was funny. There's nothing like funnier to me than a short guy standing on
Barstool,
his tippy.
Barstool does a whole thing about
all
it
all the time
about guys pretending they're over six foot
and girls not being into short guys.
Yes, it's of like, course.
It's funny. And JP trying to look tall, standing next to a woman, and it went nowhere on the show.
It fell down like a lead balloon.
And EB was actually standing up for JP and saying, "Oh, when I stand on my tippy toes." I didn't even understand that at all.
About putting your arms around your family and then I don't know what he was saying.
But JP was like, nobody was blocking JP. Like, you could see his whole body and his toes and the top of his head.
You could see everything he was wearing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Right now on Thursday afternoon, I don't even know where we stand on joning and our.
I don't know what's allowed. We don't know what the rules are for the joning.
I don't really know how to talk to EB on the show.
There used to be no rules,
and I'm not mad at EB, but
we just don't know what to do.
On Tuesday, he snapped at us, and I actually think you guys should hear this audio as a follow up to that. Tuesday morning, in the first segment, he snapped at us and said, "What are you guys not talking to me because you guys are upset?" Here, listen to this audio.
But Drabby, do you guys remember?
Can somebody
what he said?
Find that? It's tilting.
Hold on. Let's just be honest. You guys don't want to participate in the show anymore because I yelled at you on Monday. Is that the idea?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about.
You guys don't participate anymore.
No, they have no interest in our topic right now. That's what it is.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea either.
Go 1-0 today.
There it is.
That's it. That's the one.
There it is.
That's on
why are you guys that's so on our sullen? Ring? Why are you guys Valdez? Why are you so know. Sullen?
What do you mean?
Okay.
And you can kind of hear us laugh it off, and Jason's laughing in the background, like, what is that about? I have no problem talking to EB. Like, I'll talk sports with him, anything. Like, he wants me to look something up. If he wants me to chime in, I'll chime in, talk sports. I actually don't know how to talk to him right now on the show if I'm going to offend him.
I don't know how. Here,
I don't want to be screamed at like that.
I'll say this: I was talking on the show about the golf and Jason and going to Sawgrass, but in terms of being funny, I'm not sure how to be funny because a lot of my shtick is making fun of people.
I think myself. That's all our shtick.
Yes,
I mean I've called EB a dummy. You know that's basically what I'm saying. A million times on the show. Like, that's my main shtick.
Valdez said it earlier. Joning is the heartbeat of the show.
He never cared. Like, he hasn't ever cared before. Like, what was it about Monday that sent him over the cliff?
Does this mean we can't make fun of Cakes' small penis anymore?
If Cakes reacts like that, hey, I think we can because Cakes doesn't care. Like,
he's a fatso.
So... So we just joning's allowed, just not on air.
I don't know. Maybe the guys are.
Are we taking this too far?
Maybe we're taking it too personal.
Do you think we said something on Bit Season that he listened to over the weekend and then came in with a grudge on Monday?
No, I think you may have been just
tired.
Know. Like, we have been chirping EB a lot, but I thought he liked it.
He was moody 1 week and depressed. The next week he was extra horny. Right, and now
I think he was mad. I called him horny.
He's upset.
I actually think this was one of our concerns when we started Bit Season that we were going to be. It was just going to be. EB has said it's just an hour for us to Joan on the guys. And
hey, like does this mean
I think that's what he thinks?
Hey, does this mean Richmond John has to change the theme song? Because I think the word joning on the junkies is in there.
Just maybe talk about just promoting the junk.
Hey, you should go home.
Hey, walk right out that door. Go home. Yeah, your job is done for the day, Adam.
Right, write that time down. December 2nd, 12:10. AWOD made Valdez and Drab laugh. You guys don't know this.
You might have had the. Hey, you might have a line of the show.
Hey,
you might be the title of the show.
Hey,
right there.
Is there video on Adam that right there?
I've never seen anyone more proud.
Hey, you guys don't know this, but Adam, for the first like 3 years he was on the show, he used to keep a notepad of all the times that he made Valdez and I laugh. And
it was very few.
It was a one page notepad.
It was actually a post-it note.
Yeah,
it was notes in my phone. I'd write the time, the date, and a little bit of a recap. A little recap of what I had said. I was keeping the note because deep down, I know I'm funny, even if these dumb losers over here don't laugh.
Hey, those are hurtful words. Don't call me a dumb
Speaking
loser.
Speaking of hurtful, and Awad just alluded to it, I was thrown a week or two ago when JP kept saying fatso is a slur. Like, that got so serious so quickly.
Yeah. Like, well, the word slur is it's a big deal.
It's aggressive. It's serious. When I think slur, I think of words we're not allowed to say, like something you really say to someone that's degrading them for no reason.
Off limits.
Completely off limits. Calling someone a fatty.
It's just a Joan.
And Adam has been killed more than anybody.
Especially about his weight.
About his weight. So him firing back is funny to me.
It's funny to a lot of people.
Is fatso a slur?
No, fatso's not a slur. Fatso makes me laugh.
But that's where we're headed down this road.
Yes.
If you say anything about the junkies, it's a slur.
That's a little too much, but I'm just saying. But I hear what you're saying is that we're kind of down a little windy road right now.
Right.
We don't know which way to turn.
We always talk about.
We don't know how to navigate these rough waters in terms of Joaning. We don't know what's going to be allowed soon.
It says a slur is an allegation about someone that is likely to insult them or damage their reputation.
All right, I guess so, fatso's a slur by the definition.
But if fatso's a slur.
Isn't really damage Cakes' reputation. His name is Cake.
That's like calling someone stupid, saying that's a slur. It's just like way over the top.
Yeah, like when calling Adam stupid.
Yeah.
That's not a slur.
But what people don't know is that JP actually came into the producer room and then like kept reiterating during the break that it was a slur, and it was like way over the line. Yeah, way over the line.
Yes.
I don't know. So we're actually, and we're like still barking here. We're giving you guys the real deal, right? We don't know.
I don't know why that's so funny.
We don't know where we stand right now with the junkies and Joaning.
We're in limbo.
We're in limbo.
Joan limbo right now.
Right. So I want to get back to us doing non-sports segments. I think all the listeners want us to hear doing that. But a lot of our non-sports shtick on the show that
revolves
we like
around Joaning on each other
is an opportunity for someone to get piled on.
Well, this is what I don't understand. There was Joaning today. Did you notice on Thursday's show?
Remind me.
All right. It was in the second segment. No, was it second segment? Maybe. But Eric was Joaning on Jason for his outfits.
Wearing the same
clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is appropriate Joaning. Now, why is that Joaning appropriate?
I don't know.
But our mocking is
junkie
not
on junkie Joaning is appropriate. It's the behind the glass.
Oh, so we are not allowed to do the Joaning.
Let me ask you. Is it because we are beneath Eric in the show totem pole?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think we are the Eric producers is jealous and he's the fact that
jealous.
You can
he's
turn
not
off,
jealous of no, anything.
The fact that you guys can turn off your mic and have your own conversation. He can't do that. JP could be going on and on
I don't think the word is jealous. I
book.
Think he's probably annoyed that we can do that.
But I think I think he wants to be able to.
So you think if we were more engaged in the show, he would take our Joaning better.
If he could have IFB in his ear to hear everything in that room, he would do it.
Of course he would.
No, I don't think it's like we are engaged in the show. I think we were too engaged. That's actually probably what made us step back. Again, I'm not mad at Eric at all. And if he's offended by what we said, he clearly was. That I don't want to get him like in real life pissed off at me. That's not what I want at all.
It's Eric's show.
It's his show. Yeah. Exactly. It's the four of those guys.
If they don't.
Show.
Yeah. If they don't want us doing something.
Tired of us of producers chiming in and mocking the talent, which I don't. I think it's funny, and I think it works on the show, and I think the listeners like it because it's pretty real. I mean, it's like we're just like hanging out and being boys, making fun of each other. That. If he doesn't want us to do that, then we can stop. And I don't mean that in like I'm going to take my ball and go home. Like, I'm honestly, I want the best show that the guys want to do.
Right. If they feel like the best show is not us
It sounds like you're taking the ball and you're going home.
No, I mean, it's serious. If he doesn't want the producers involved in the Jonian, I'm okay with that.
If Eric feels like it's a better show without us, you know, taking quick jabs at him or any of the other guys,
but
then
Eric's
we'll
got to be open. Eric, if he likes that, then he's got to be open to being joned on, and he can't just be letting us pile on JP all the time. Or Cakes his small penis. Like he's got to. He can't just can't be. He's got a bubble around him.
Excessively small penis.
Right.
I just don't. I don't understand it because I've been just. Maybe we just have thicker skin. I don't get it. I've been mocked and ridiculed for 13 years by not just Eric but all four guys, and I think maybe, and then this is just me, but. The guys kind of mocking me or making fun of me, joning on me, kind of feels like it gives listeners permission to do the same. So maybe when we're doing Eric,
that is one of the most annoying things ever.
So when we're doing
about it,
when listeners feel like they get the free reign to Joan, but they don't know us.
Right. But I think what's going on here is that because we're doing it,
yeah,
it's almost like if those two losers can do it, let me hop in and get in on this gravy train.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked on a lot of different shows in radio before. I've worked on shows where I don't talk.
Did you know Drab's DJ name in high school was Matt Gayhill?
No, it was the MC.
The MC.
Gayhill.
The MC and the MV. Matt Valdez.
Hey, what was your degrading nickname?
Me?
Yeah, what did people call you guys?
Oh, well, I mean...
They either called me Gayhill or Chunk.
I mean, really? Fat Matt.
Oh, Fat Matt.
I actually used to get tilted by this people we were friends with. They'd call me Spasm.
That is a great name.
I used to get so pissed.
Hey, Spasm.
Yeah. But I didn't... no one really did that. You want to know why? Because I was cool.
Bro, let me tell you, I was cool too. All right, I was nominated every year for Homecoming Prince. All right,
Matt Valdez went around school saying, "Hey, do you guys know I guarded Durant a couple weeks ago?"
I did.
By the way, speaking of lying and telling fake stories, do you believe that Matt Valdez? I think Valdez, he tells some tall tales when it comes to his basketball career.
I was good at basketball. I'm sorry, I was.
I've seen Valdez play basketball.
Did you start?
Yes, of course.
So did Pete Haley.
I know. I was also on varsity as a sophomore.
That's impressive.
Thank you.
If that's true, that's impressive.
You know, you shouldn't be the one trying to get me in a basketball lie. Drab and I figured out, by the way, that you have never played basketball at a competitive level because you have no idea what a ball tap is.
Hey.
Yes, I did. We even had a caller come in and back up my story. You guys have terrible memory.
What's with the girl on Twitter challenging you to all sorts of athletic events?
I don't know. What her name's Katie?
Katie.
You have
know
you
I
met her?
I met her at the book signing at Potbelly for Still Barking.
She eats at Potbelly.
What?
I know what you're doing. You can call Cakes Fat. Please don't take any shots at any female listeners.
Yeah,
all right.
I know
what you're doing.
I don't like Potbelly.
And when I met her,
I don't even know what she looks like.
I was eyeing her up because she's been challenging you to every single athletic endeavor. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that she would win 99% of them.
Is she taller than me?
No.
Then I would take her down to the paint and dunk on her. I would treat her like I did cakes.
Hey, do you know what she challenged you in?
What?
And this has me very intrigued.
Well, what are some of the ones that were on Twitter? Jiu-jitsu. She would kill you in that if she'd done anything.
Yes. She said that she wanted to box you. And she does like boxing classes and stuff like that.
I did like round nine like boxing.
Like bash boxing.
I did bash boxing for a little bit.
Yeah, you and... Oh my god.
Remember you guys had me punch the mic on air?
But it looked like she was skilled because like
athletic?
Yeah.
But what was the other thing she wanted to challenge me in?
I forget. I just know basketball, boxing was at the appearance. I forget. Maybe one of a race too. That was something cuz I know you want to do the race with Cakes.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't lose to a girl.
If you have a girl beat you up, that'd be the greatest thing in the world.
I mean, I had a short person beat me up. When we had the comedian,
a little person, yes. Brad, what's his name?
He took me down and he pinned me. My sister still sends me that video once a year.
You were doing a bit, though, right?
Yeah. I mean,
what are you going to do?
At first, once he got on top of me, I couldn't get up. All right, yeah. He knew how to pin me down.
Would you be into fighting a woman?
No. I'm because a lover, not a fighter.
That's against your...
No, I would rather... If she wants to do an athletic competition...
Let me ask you a question. If this girl was doing jujitsu or martial arts in the octagon mm-hmm. with you, and she took you down, is there a possibility you'd pop a boner?
He'd be sus. No. Of course he would.
That's a lot of that's a lot of physical contact for you, for someone who hasn't gotten a lot of physical contact.
Well, yeah, but I'd be, you know, thinking about trying to hurt her, not anything sexual.
I think there's a 50-50 shot he'd pop a boner.
I think so too. And there's a 100% chance he would lose. Oh no, here what it was. A squat challenge.
Oh, a squat challenge.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
I have bad knees. I can't.
Okay, bench press.
Bench press. What about bench press?
I could do that. I can get up to like 145.
First of all, I doubt that.
145 is not even anything. It's like basically the plates, right?
No, that's 135 with 245s on each side.
Can you bench
press? That's how I know you don't do it. Tell me you don't lift by telling me you don't lift, right?
I could do that.
You can do the bar and 245s on each side?
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Guarantee it. $100.
Here's
$100 and let me push the buttons strong. For a day.
That's true. They got a lot of mass.
So he might be able to.
I might like the squat challenge.
Squat challenge.
Why don't we do both?
First of all, why do you have bad knees? What have you done in your life to have bad knees?
Look, in college, I tried to squat.
What are you, Yvonne Rodriguez?
A horrific incident that happened to me, the VCU gym, where I tried to squat, and I had been doing it for a couple days, and then...
Hey, let me see your squat form. Stand up and do a squat. Let me see your squat.
You need it. I've never seen a droopier butt.
I know. Why are your legs so wide?
You look so unathletic.
I was doing the squatting, and I fell forward, and it was
completely uncoordinated.
Yeah, I said I would never squat. I thought I was going to die. I thought it was going to crush my neck. So I'm never squatting again.
Oh, no. Was this like a real bar, or was this a Smith machine?
It was like a real bar.
Smith machine.
Thank God I had a spotter.
All right, well. Squats out. I'd like to see you do the bench press challenge against Katie.
I would love to see that. Maybe that can be a bit season event. Our first ever event.
All right, guys.
Because by the way, I was very surprised because at the Potbelly thing,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot of people coming up and talking about bit season, how much they love bit season, and I feel like we could host an event.
Oh, I would be so down for that.
At Jam and Jam.
That's my favorite.
That's probably funny to
that's funny, that's funny to about five people.
All right, guys. We could be here. We got so much stuff we'd want to get into, but we've been going for quite a while today, so we don't want to take up too much of your time. We'll save some of this for next week, and hopefully tomorrow on the Junkies, we get into some non-sports and do some shtick, and everything
right.
is back to
normal. Is it going to be weird that I won't be in tomorrow? After our discussion,
Cody Betts is in tomorrow. Yeah.
Hey, let's keep his mic off.
All right. Sure.
Come on, that was a good joke.
All right. Thanks for listening today, guys. Remember to check out our new friend Dave from Magnolia Admissions. That's yes. MagnoliaAdmissions.com. If you got a young one who's in the college application process or law school applications, he's great, very smart guy.
And oh, yes.
You'll love him.
Yes. Also that and cameos. If you're excited for a holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah cameo.
But you only got four more days left in Hanukkah.
All right. You go to Cameo, search Junk's Producers, and me and Drabby will cut one for you.
Yeah. Even if you don't have someone to send it to, get one for yourself. We're
you know
out here.
You could do? Also, instead of laying out milk and cookies for Santa, how about you lay out a cameo for Santa?
Yeah, we'll talk to Santa. All right.
Just put
We're desperate to start cutting cameos.
No, this is cameo season. So
it is, and we don't promote it enough.
We definitely don't promote it enough. So check out us on Cameos, Junkies Producers.
Yes, and check out our new sponsor,
I think
too.
We even have one to cut with AWOD today.
Yes.
You're not getting paid for it, but we someone requested you.
Yeah, I'm used to
no. That. No one requested him. We need his help because it's a happy Hanukkah one.
Oh, it's a Hanukkah one. All right. Huh, yeah, we do need you for that. You know? All right, guys. Thank you for listening to Bit Season. We will be back next week with a complete show. And everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to HomeServe.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's HomeServe.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.